Hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Oh, Dana. I hope you're filling up your cup to the rim.
Oh, it is to the rim in this zone, man.
Are you doing fancy water or fancy tea this morning?
You know, I not fancy water. No. So this morning is, but you know, it's going to sound fancy, okay. I tell you. Okay. Yeah. So you ready for this?
Yes.
So it's lemon wedges with sparkling water.
Okay. That's nice. Yes. Are you out at a cafe there somewhere?
Cafe Victoria here.
I see.
La Victoria.
That's nice. That sounds nice and refreshing for the morning.
Yeah. And you know, the weather is really nice out here. And
like
you said, just a nice refreshing drink.
I believe we're supposed to have weather that gets better through the week, right? I think down here in LA, I think it's supposed to get warmer as we get through the week.
Yes, But I think I did see a little bit about the Santa Ana's coming in.
Oh, probably that would seem to be the right thing. You know, we get the high wind advisories and all that, especially up where you live near the college itself.
It does. It gets so windy, and I think a couple of weeks ago it was so bad. Some people lost power.
Yeah, no doubt. This will be something that we'll do in our other podcast project when we launch about all the different community colleges in the state. And we'll talk to people about what's like a cool thing about your campus. Or we could talk about when the Santa Ana winds come through and you're trying to walk around our campus, right?
And you're
getting blown around.
Walk. Yeah.
Yes.
Like literally, yeah, you're being pushed back.
Yes.
Especially if you're walking up hill.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And because I remember it was always kind of funny because we have a child development center on our campus. And so occasionally it'd be like parents walking like their toddlers or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the winds would come through and like little kids would be like almost swinging from their arms almost, you know, as they're being dragged around campus.
Or I can recall maybe like events we've had like out on the quad. And trying to set up our tents.
Oh, yeah.
About it. Yes.
That's why I bought us the heavy duty tents. Uh-huh. So at least ours had a slight chance of making it, you know. I hope someday to get back to campus where we can put our tents back to use.
Maybe one day. It's been a while,
you know.
Yes, uh-huh. How about yourself? What are you drinking this morning?
I'm just having some Pure Leaf lemon tea.
That sounds so
good. Sweetened a little bit, you know, nothing too sweet. Mm-hmm. I was running out of it, so when I did my grocery pick up from the local Ralph's I go through, I decided to restock up.
Nice.
Because I was down to the mango hibiscus.
Okay.
Kind, which is caffeine free. This one, I think they injected into it. I don't know.
Okay.
But this is the wake me up kind of drink.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're both refreshed.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's got to be because I was only working until, odd hour, morning hours here to get, you know, student petitions done for the start of the semester.
Yeah, I got to get them done, man.
Yeah. You know, when you look at those, it's very surprising. High percentage of them that were students who had COVID themselves.
Oh, my
word.
Or
were in a household with someone and then either had to quarantine away from them or were there to help. So, and it wasn't just even for spring. Most of these, I think almost, I would say 7/10 of them, about 70% of them were probably people who had COVID from summer or later.
My word.
Because obviously this is people disqualified for spring. So they messed up their fall. And almost most of the time it was because of the COVID stuff. Yeah.
Mm. Man, that's something.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, some family members lost along the way, too. You know, so, you know, having to take care of those type of issues. Yeah, I mean, it's all the kind of, and, you know, because it's one thing, you know, we already accounted for in our system as the state and the federal government allowed for students last spring who kind of just withdrew, right? We gave them this new EW grade.
Excuse withdrawal. Yes,
excuse withdrawal. Because normally, for those out there not from financial aid land or at a college, a student has like the first couple weeks of just drop a class. And it's like it never existed. But after that, if they drop a class, they get a W or a withdrawal grade. And so it shows up as an attempted class on your transcript. These excuse withdrawals, because even there, I forgot what the limit is, but it's like you get through about the 10th or 11th week of a semester. Now you can't drop and get a W anymore. You get an F. So the EW grade was kind of meant to fill in for those type of excused type of things. And that's where we got a lot of those. But we already accounted for that for most students in our calculation of their disqualification versus good status. So it's this fall that started to hit hard.
Right.
You know, and I'm sure you're seeing that too with students.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so interesting. I wonder why we don't continue to use the excuse withdrawal.
Well, here's the thing. We still do. Here's what happened, though. Apparently, between the Fed or the state, I think it was the federal government in a electronic announcement, they didn't put it out to like the last day of August that you could continue to do so. So it was way past the point that our system was programmed. So what I, as a chair of the financial aid SAP committee for all the financial aid directors across the district, we decided that we'd leave it to campuses for at least, you know, spring into summer, summer into fall, to just do it through the regular petition process. So if you saw the EWs, manually take care of it, because we can't go backwards and reprogram and rerun everyone's and determine their status again. But also the numbers of EW used in the summer dramatically down, because you know students at that point just didn't re-enroll. also, unless it was like the first semester you were coming to us, you already knew that everything was going to be online, and assumingly you were prepared for it. But you know, when I look at the petitions, not so much.
Right.
You know, it's just, again, it's still a big switchover for many students.
Absolutely. And then, and like you're explaining to me, we really don't know what the circumstances are inside that home.
Sure.
Right. And we don't know what can occur either. You know, I've encountered students where it seems like, oh, they're acclimating pretty well. But then all of a sudden, you know, they tell you, I gotta drop out because I'm going through something. Yeah.
Well, and it could be themselves. Family member, it could be work related, where they go from, you know, sometimes it was, you know, a couple of the petitions were from students who were essential workers or were non-essential and then became essential. And thus, you know, their schedules really got messed with.
Right.
And so their only other choice was, you know, not do the classes or when, especially for our parents out there, when they have kids of their own trying to go through, you know, usually the K-12 system, and then trying to keep up with them. So it's an interesting ride. Hopefully some of these students will get some stuff squared away this semester. I mean, we are now in our fourth online semester in a sense, you know.
Right.
Hopefully they'll get some of this squared away. And again, it's one of these things, you know, where I've read a couple petitions that were, you know, they just don't think they do well in online. Well, then you may have to, you know, for now, consider cutting back or not taking classes for a little bit of time or trying to find the support before you sign up. You know, it's one thing to tell me that you didn't understand online classes out of spring because that just jumped on you. But don't use that same excuse for summer and for fall and for our winter session and then re-enroll and tell me you're going to do any better.
Right. It's one of those things where you have to really look at your situation and think about, is it really feasible for you to re-enroll? Or I know they're hard decisions,
yeah,
but like you're saying, you have to you have to really weigh your options there so you don't, you know, affect yourself. And
well, and you're wasting your own time, you know.
Yeah.
You don't, I don't understand this again, you know, with some students who, when you look at their transcript, they've been with us for a long, long, long time. and they're just not making any progress. And that's because any little thing that comes up in their life wipes out what they're doing, even when they're taking a few classes.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Yeah.
You know, at some point, I sometimes in my denials, I will write to them that they, you know, part of the explanation will be usually something like they didn't really include a timeline or documentation to frame and support what they stated were their reasons. But also based upon their reasons, I will say you did not make a very strong case for why you continued to enroll when this similar issues kept affecting you semester after semester. You know, mm-hmm. the type of student might have 5 or 6 or 7 semesters with W's, withdrawal grades, or F's, or even D's, you know, because that just shows me that you're not, you know, you're not getting over whatever the issues are at hand that continue to affect you. So sometimes the right answer, you know, and it's a tough thing for us to do sometimes, is that a student just doesn't come back for a little time and takes care of what's going on at home.
Right.
You know. Whether it's the parent who has a child who has special needs and needs to be taken care of to get through, you know, pre-K or K or first or second grade, or you're working a full-time job that tasks you to do lots of overtime, then again, you know, you think, you know, it's the worst planning of all when the people think they can go full-time school and full-time work.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably one of the worst scenarios. It, you know, work. And why we offer the Federal Work Study Program, as you know so well, as the person who runs it, mm-hmm. our guru queen of work study, part-time work and full-time studies is good. And actually, there's some studies that Federal Work Study students do better.
If you can do it, I agree. Yes.
Because you get better, you keep a calendar, mm-hmm. you stay more organized. Work study usually connects you when you're on campus, at least connects you to the campus community. You start to know mm-hmm. more resources and things like that. Our student workers certainly have picked up on that,
mm-hmm.
but, full-time work and full-time school almost doesn't, never works. It just doesn't because people think they can work during the day, take their classes at night
and
then study all night. Oh, that's mm-hmm. perfect. So you're just going to be up 24 hours a day.
Now, there are some stellar students that are able to do that. But
yes.
Like you said, I think it's one of those things where you have to really sit and think about, mm-hmm. you know, can I do this? Like you mentioned, is it better for me to just work part time and then mm-hmm. do full time school, or maybe do part time both?
Sure.
Or like, yeah, like you're saying, it depends on, it really depends on what you're.
Yeah, and you can't dictate
how much you can handle. Yeah.
You can't dictate it one way or the other because for some people, it's more important to have the financial support at home, right? I mean, because they're helping, especially when you're talking a more like traditional age college student, mm-hmm. they're helping the family out, supporting mm-hmm. the family, you know, because maybe it's a mom and dad, maybe someone doesn't work in that group, someone may be retired, or during mm-hmm. this COVID time, someone got sick or could have been laid off or such. Or they're just, you know, they're out there on their own, or they're a single parent. And, you know, again, they have to work. So there's a variety of other reasons. But, yeah, it really becomes an issue that people have to do. I don't know if there's a way to make a test for this, you know, like they do like a career test.
Oh.
But, you know, something like before you sign up and take a class, have you really assessed a situational analysis? We should get the military involved on this. They would know how to do this.
Absolutely. And that's not actually a bad idea. I'll just use myself and as an example. For me, it was just trial and error. Mm-hmm. I was really, really blessed, especially going to mission. I didn't have to worry about room and board. My mom, mm-hmm. she took care of that for me. So yes. I could focus on my studies and then work part time as well. And then, you know, help out a little bit with you know, the bills and everything. Mm-hmm. But I realized even working part time for me to be successful, I still only for enrollment, like 3/4 time or no, not 3/4 time. What it was is I realized I couldn't take math and English at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Certain combinations of classes. Yes.
It's real talk. It was just too hard for me at the time. Uh-huh. It was just too hard. So like you're saying, and you learn that about how you learn that about yourself, you know, yes. how well you'll do in particular courses and, you know, if you can work this amount of hours and still, you know, pass your classes or be successful in your classes. So like, I think it's like trial and error, but it would be cool. Yeah. If you could kind of like do some type of analysis or test to find
out. And do like you know, I would think that especially, and you could, and you know, you could obviously do it and then base it upon either the current literature. This would be a great grad program. To create an app.
It sounds like it.
To create an app for this, because and then, but what you could do then is if you could survey enough students based upon their academic progress standing, and for those like in your case, you know, and then get at them. Oh, how many hours per week do you work on average? You know, did you take classes day or night? Or you know, we'd know some of this information. Did you work day or night? Did you have a work study job so you could differentiate on campus from off campus? Or were you working for a essential industry? You know, all these different things to categorize and then see where the patterns lie. Mm-hmm. You know, so if we do really see that work study students taking a full-time load with maybe the class combinations like you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. While working part-time, were more successful and had a 2.6 GPA versus the students who were full-time work, full-time school, had a 1.9 or whatever. You could kind of tell the student based upon our, you know, your numbers, we anticipate you would not be able to complete full-time studies. Mm-hmm. We suggest you do this. And with our, obviously our counselors can work to a certain point with the class matching, because again, if you're right out of high school and you know, now that we don't do as much assessment anymore, right?
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
It's more or less you pre-assess yourself on math and English. If you did the right classes in high school, you can place yourself and take the college level English and the college level math right away. Mm. You know, because it's all you do your own assessment. A little bit of sneeze in there. I tried to mute myself. Sorry. But yeah, and they do that. It's more self-assessed now as far as where you are on a number of factors. You know, did you get an A in your college or your high school calculus or whatever, trig class or whatever? That would help determine if you were ready to take, you know, I think our math stats or math calculus class. But it is one of those kind of things that I think we have to certainly look at. Maybe we build that app together as we do a dual doctorate, right? You up for that?
I am so down.
All right. Well, yes. You're up for that. Let's get down on some music and move ourselves into our next segment of the show, everyone.
And we're back for our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Time for a refill. And get whatever's out of the air here that made me sneeze.
You gonna be okay?
I hope so too. Yeah. Well, before we get into the news, and we do have a lot of news, we can give a quick maybe update on conference, you think?
Absolutely. 2 weeks, man.
2 weeks. And we do want people to register as much as possible by the end of this current week. Only because starting next week, the week before the conference, we will be sending out some emails to the registrants about how they can kind of like pre-select their conference schedule. So like kind of like set their own grid up of the breakout sessions and other things, because every one of those sessions will have like a slightly different Zoom kind of link, you know, and we want to make sure we get those out to everyone. But even if you want to make switches along the way, when the platform, the website will open for conference and you log in, you'll still be able to switch around and go to a different session if you want to. But we do want to get people on board with that as soon as possible. So try to register by the end of the week. There's no price cuts or early bird stuff. So it's the same $100 for the conference. Maybe we should talk about elections too. How's that?
Ooh, that sounds exciting, yes.
Yeah, because I think we are trying to close that out either the end of this week or early next week. So again, if you are a CISFA member, please make certain you saw that email from about a week or so ago and vote in our CISFA elections. Again, we are electing all the wonderful officers. We're electing, again, my fill-in person, my successor, as the person who had it, skip town, ran away to the good life in another Midwest type of city place, you know. So we have a special election running at the same time for incoming president, and then obviously our normal president-elect. So definitely everybody get in on that. All right, Dana, are we ready for news?
We certainly are.
All right, let's see how much news we can get through here. So I don't know if you saw this exciting reading, but the state chancellor's office put out a joint analysis of the 2021-2022 governor's budget proposal and trailer bills. And there's some good and bad news in all this. So the good news, the state wants to provide $250 million in emergency aid for students. It's on pages 10 and 11 of this report, for those who have it. Now, this is supposed to be one-time funding with $100 million in the state's early action package, with the intent of it going out actually this spring. So apparently, because even though it's next year's budget, they can do it this spring. Funding is meant to target full-time students who were working full-time who have financial need. Of course, the state makes this nice and complicated by requiring students to self-certify, which sounds always nice but never is, to these items, and that there are some other criteria they have to meet too. But Dana, you would assume that the state would give us extra money to do all this work, right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, show me the money.
Well, here's bad news.
Uh-oh.
Unless there's an influx of one-time funding or other unknown money coming our way, the budget proposes a 4.7% cut in our BFAP categorical funding for the coming year.
You're kidding.
No, how could I? And this is on page 16 of the report for those who have it at home. You know, this is gutting about $3.6 million from our current $76 million in funding for all the colleges. Now, whereas other categorical programs are getting their teeny tiny little 1.5% cost of living increase, our funding continues to dwindle. And this is primarily because BFAP funding, this is the program that funds about half of the cost of operations for most financial aid offices at the community colleges in the state. Mm-hmm. The program was started, you know, 20 years ago or so, right? I think it was all started right after they started charging tuition to students. And the thing is, then, it's tied directly to the number of fee waivers processed every year. And, you know, with enrollment heading down, our funding does too. So, of course, the workloads, you know, keep increasing, as you can attest to, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Right, because we've added extra Cal Grant numbers to the competitive program, so we have more students getting Cal Grant. The full-time student success grant was created and then melded into the student success and completion grant. So all new programs. There was extra funding for foster youth and former foster youth. And, of course, we had an emergency grant program aimed at our AB 540 students. So all this is nice extra work to do, but it would be nice if someone in Sacramento was listening to this podcast. And I don't think we can get that local quite yet on our stats. And see here how the here in the financial aid offices at the California Community Colleges, our buying power has only decreased over time. You know, back in the day, I could pay salaries, benefits, student workers, conferences, training, your scholarship ceremony, Dana, you know. As elaborate as it was.
Yes.
We did cash for college events. And we even replaced computers and stuff for staff. Now, I'm basically down to salary and benefits for full-timers. Half the staff get paid out of this. The other half get from the general funds of the state. And everything else is either pushed away or on something else, or we're not replacing people. So I'll end my diatribe on this, but let's look at least one part in the governor's budget that's good and bad together. The budget includes a proposal that all high school seniors be required to complete a FAFSA or DREAM Act application. That's good news, right?
Yeah, hopefully. Okay.
So that's on page 12 of the report. There will be a way for parents and students to opt out if they want to, but the general premise is really good. Now, what's bad about this? And again, this is what we should all be complaining about. I would say that because we're getting decreasing at BFAP funds, and maybe this is the reason we have to push for more, you know, and we're already kind of tight on money at the colleges due to lower enrollment. I hardly expect any one of us at the California Community Colleges in our financial aid offices have the necessary bandwidth with, you know, the new term for time in your schedule, I guess, to provide timely processing and disbursing of all the emergency aid, let alone the extra thousands of FAFSAs and DREAM Act applications we'll start to receive. You know, so it's great for students, but I don't know how our governor and legislature thinks we'll have more time and make all this happen as they envision. So the law of unintended consequences will probably rear its ugly head. I'm almost certain of this. So hopefully, Dana, you've got some good news, I hope, to, you know, counteract this.
Please. I think we do. I think we do. So, Dennis, remember when we reported recently that NASFA made one of our community college colleagues their MVP or most valuable professional? And that person was?
I think that was Christina Tangalakis, Associate Dean over there in financial aid over at Glendale Community College, right?
Got it. That's right. That's right. And now NASFA announced Christina has been elected to serve as their 2021-2022 chair-elect for the Certified Financial Aid Administration Commission. Excuse me. She will represent the Western region for the next 3 years as one of the elected officers of the commission starting this July 1st. So congratulations, Christina, again.
Yeah, good for her. You know, yeah, this Certified Financial Aid Administrator program is where, you know, if you want to, you can study and then test and become certified in a sense. Mm-hmm.
And we talked to, we had a certification, or we announced a certification last week.
Yes. Yeah, yes, I think we did. Yeah. So we have some people in our midst that we know about that have done this. Well, good for Christina. It seems like things are rolling on well. And it's good that other people are taking on three-year things, too. Not just me.
You guys are in it. You're in it for the long
haul. As they say.
What is the saying? In it to win it?
I thought just in it for the long haul.
Oh, but
I bet there's other sayings.
Uh-huh.
No doubt. Okay, well, I'm just going to do one more article here because we are running low on time, amazingly. Look at that, huh? So I was reading an article recently on University Business website regarding how FAFSA filing continues to fall. Focusing on California alone, first-time applications for FAFSA fell 21%. Based on results from a study by researchers at the University of Missouri, this drop includes drops among Black, Hispanic, and lower-income students primarily. Article goes on to explain recently how the U.S. Department of Education called on institutions to use professional judgment when calculating student financial need for aid. And we do that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how this ties into the general concept of having lower FAFSA submissions. After all, if you got to file the FAFSA, you got to file that before we can do a review. But anyways, the article does talk about how, based on the research so far, the best suggestion is to simplify the FAFSA process. And they suggest to reduce the number of students we put through the verification process. I think we can agree both of those are good. And the good thing is FAFSA simplification is coming to us in just a couple of years. You know, overall, the article's, you know, a little bit loosey-goosey to steal our title of our podcast from a few weeks ago, right?
Yes.
But the research reports themselves could be interesting. So we'll include links to the actual article and the research, which is available through the Educational Researcher Journal, available through Sage Journals Online. Dana, why don't you go ahead and we'll do one last one. And
one then we'll last
move
one.
Move on to our next segment. Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. All right, Dennis. So, you know, with all the various federal, state, and institutionally funded emergency aid programs out there, I found a recently updated Q&A in the NASFA AskRegs knowledge base that addresses something we haven't really thought out. That is whether emergency FSELG and HERF student grants are reported on the IRS form 1098-T and whether these grants are taxable. With an update on February 9th, both of these types of grants are not reported on the IRS form 1098-T. The AskRegs article included information directly from the FAQ posted by the IRS on their IRS website regarding whether these grants are considered income. As quoted from the IRS website, emergency financial aid grants are qualified disaster relief payments and are not included in students' gross income. Students may not claim deductions or credits for these amounts. The rest of the answer to this pertains to why colleges should not issue 1098-T forms, as this could confuse students and create issues for students when reporting income. Sounds like good news for students, and yeah. This certainly simplifies filing your taxes. We'll include a link to the NASFA AskRes article on this and to the IRS FAQ in our show notes.
Yeah, so there's some good news that hopefully clarifies for some of our colleagues Absolutely. Out there, too, because I'm sure uh-huh. they've heard quite a bit about that.
Or been asked, you know, questions by their students.
Exactly, yet. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a little musical interlude and move our way into the last part of the show, everyone. And just like that, we are back for our last sip segment. Dana, as always, you know, other than just reminding people to register for conference, you got any I dare you to's out there?
I dare you to register for the conference.
I like that. I like that.
Are you all listening?
Yes, yes.
Register for the conference. 2 weeks. You got 2 weeks.
That's right. Get in there, everybody. At $100, it is well going to be worth it. We're going to have plenty of great information and such.
Yeah, and I think, now, Dennis, correct me if I'm wrong, yes. are we actually going to be live streaming?
We are still working on the details of that. Okay. I will probably know tomorrow. If all goes well, we're going to do a halftime show on the Wednesday of the conference week from 12 to 1, if all goes well, yes.
And I think that's great incentive to register for the conference.
I think so, too.
You get to see us live.
That's right. And see how this whole thing comes together in some
Absolutely.
Way. Absolutely. I'm completely with you on all that. Well, then in that case, Dean, I don't have anything myself for any real interesting I dare you to's this week. So why don't we just say we've had it for the show today as we are basically running out of time here. But everyone, we'll have another episode later this week and possibly an interview. How's that?
Ooh, on the edge of my seat.
Yes. So I want to thank my co-host, Dana, for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And hey, everyone, check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at WBCISFA@gmail.com.
For this and all of our What's Brewing CISFA podcast, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. For those using Apple devices, open your podcasts app. To find us, just search for CISFA. You can also find us at wbcisfa.podbean.com. That's the words pod and bean put together. And you can find us on Spotify, Pandora, and iHeartRadio. And you can listen to us through the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
This has been episode number 64, recorded the morning of Tuesday, February 16th, 2021. Have a great day.
And have a great week.